Chapter 10 Lakeside Estates. My parents let me skip school the next day. After all the excitement in the Asian Plains, we'd had to spend hours relating what had happened to Honecker and a bunch of other security guys, so by the time we finally found the new location of our mobile home and got to bed, it was after midnight, and I was exhausted. My parents were too. Dad thought maybe Mom should go to a hospital about her ankle, but she kept insisting she was fine. She took some painkillers and went right to bed. Dad said I deserved some rest after all I'd been through, so he told me to sleep in. I did. I might have slept all morning had I not been awakened by someone pounding on our front door. Our trailer was so poorly built that the entire thing trembled with each knock. I pried my eyes open and tried to find my alarm clock. Since we hadn't been notified about the move of our trailer, we hadn't packed our things beforehand. I didn't have much stuff, but what I did own was scattered all over my room. It looked like my closet had blown up.
"Answer the door, Teddy," Marge hollered. "I know you're in there."
I groaned and dragged myself out of bed. Our trailer's heater was so awful it was freezing inside. The moment my feet touched the cold, bare floor, I snapped awake. It was like sticking my toes in ice water. Marge started pounding on the door again. It felt like someone was jackhammering the house.
"Teddy," she roared, "show yourself."
"I'm coming," I yelled back. I dug some socks out of a pile of clothes in the middle of the room and found my alarm clock buried beneath it all. It was almost 9 o'clock. I couldn't believe I'd slept so late. At school, I'd have already been in second period. I glanced out the window. I couldn't see Marge, but I could see her golf cart. There was only one bush anywhere near our front door, but Marge had managed to run into it. This was the first time I'd seen the new location of my home in daylight. Lakeside Estates didn't look anywhere near as nice as Pete Thwacker had made it out to be. None of the landscaping or pathways he'd promised had been laid down yet. Our home sat in a large clearing, surrounded by bare slabs for the other trailers, a dozen cement rectangles looking bizarrely out of place in the woods. The so-called lake barely had any water in it, and what little there was had frozen, so it was really only a patch of ice-encrusted mud. Marge kept banging on the door, apparently convinced this was the way to get me to move faster. Instead, I decided to take my time, knowing it would aggravate her. Maybe I'd get lucky and her head would explode from frustration. I slowly pulled on my jeans, shoes, and a sweatshirt. Through it all, Marge kept pounding away. It occurred to me that my parents must not be home. I'd expected that they might sleep in too, but if either one had been there, they surely would have told Marge to can it by now. Sure enough, there was a note from Mom on the breakfast table. "Went to work. Don't try to shower. Water isn't hooked up yet. Call when you wake up." My cell phone was still in my pocket, set to silent mode. I pulled it out and found 25 texts from Summer about the previous night's excitement. She'd texted me questions right up until midnight, and apparently had thought of plenty more since then. "How's Rhonda? Is your mom okay? Where are you today?" I thought about taking the time to answer them all, but the trailer was trembling so much from Marge's incessant thumping, I worried it might collapse.
"I can hear you in there," she yelled. "Open the door!"
"Who is it?" I asked sweetly, simply to get under her skin.
"You know darn well who it is," Marge snapped, then added, "It's Marge."
"What can I do for you?"
"Open the door."
"Why?"
"So I can search your house."
"No."
"Your house is technically the property of Fun Jungle," Marge growled. "I'm being nice, asking you to open it. If I wanted to, I could just kick the door down."
I didn't challenge her on this. The door was so flimsy, a grasshopper could have kicked it down. It already appeared dented from Marge's knocking. So I opened the door. Marge stormed right in, barreling past me, her face flushed as red as a Wakari monkey's.
"You've really done it this time," she told me,
going right to our freezer and yanking it open. She seemed surprised to find it empty, save for a few bags of frozen vegetables, then wheeled on me.
"Where is it?"
"Where's what?" I asked. "The candy? I already told you I didn't steal that."
"This isn't only about candy anymore, and you know it."
"Actually, I don't." Marge fixed her piggy little eyes on me.
"Eleanor Elephant's ice cream eatery was broken into last night. 16 gallons of assorted flavors were stolen, including cheetah chocolate, monkey mint chip, and rhino raspberry swirl.
And you think I stole that too? What would I do with 16 gallons of ice cream?
Eat it!
I can't eat 16 gallons of ice cream.
If I thought you could eat that much ice cream at once, I wouldn't be here looking for it, would I? I know you stashed it somewhere, but I assure you, I will find it. And when I do, you're getting shipped off to juvenile hall.
Marge stomped down the short hallway and went into my bedroom. I followed and found her tossing my clothes aside.
What are you doing? Looking for the stolen merchandise.
In my bedroom?
It's cold enough in here to keep ice cream.
I couldn't argue with that. Marge, if you talk to Chief Honecker, he'll tell you I was with him until midnight last night.
I'm well aware of that.
So you think that after all that, I went back to Fun Jungle and robbed the ice cream stand?
I don't think anything.
No kidding. Marge tossed aside a handful of shirts and wheeled on me.
I know you did this. What better time to commit a crime than right after you've been with security? You might have everyone else here fooled with your goody-two-shoes act, but not me.
I sagged against the door jamb. Why are you so determined to get me arrested?
Because it's my job. I'm supposed to root out trouble at Fun Jungle, and you're trouble.
No, I'm not.
You're not the one who jammed porcupine quills in the seat of my security vehicle?
No, I said, although it was a lie. Not only had I placed the quills pointy end up in her cart, but I'd also surreptitiously recorded her sitting on them and then posted it on YouTube. Marge glared at me.
It took the doctor an hour to dig those out of my behind.
Well, it probably took him a while to find them. He had a big area to search.
That does it!
Marge pounded across the room toward me, as menacing as any of the gars had been the night before. She backed me into a corner and stabbed a thick finger into my chest.
I have had it with you, Fitzroy. One way or another, I am going to catch you one of these days, and when I do, I'm going to wipe that smug little smile off your face for good. You are a nuisance, a pest, and an all-around bad egg.
And you're a bully, I said. Marge reared back as though she'd been slapped.
What'd you call me?
A bully. You're even worse than Vance Jessup. He was only a dumb teenager trying to make himself feel good by picking on smaller kids. You're an adult, and you're doing the same thing. You've always been after me. I never really thought of Marge in these terms until I'd said the words, but as I spoke, I realized I was right. There's no evidence that I broke into that candy store or that ice cream shop. But you're determined to pin it on me anyhow, just like you were with the theft of the koala. For a brief moment, it looked as though I might have actually gotten through to Marge. A glimmer of understanding flashed in her eyes, but then it was gone, replaced by anger again.
There might not be any evidence now, but if it's out there, I assure you I'll find it.
She turned away and went back to ransacking my room. I started to protest, but as I watched Marge flinging my clothes about, I was struck by a thought. Did you take pictures of the ice cream shop after the break-in?
Of course. Procurement of photographic evidence is standard procedure.
Can I see them? Marge turned back to me. Somehow she'd managed to get a dirty sock of mine perched on her shoulder, but she didn't even notice.
You already know what it looks like. You did it.
So? Marge considered that for a moment, then dug her phone out and brought up the photos.
Fine. Want to see the damage you did? Here you go.
She slapped the phone into my hands.
You try to erase any of those pictures, though, and I'll arrest you for tampering with evidence.
I examined the photos closely. Like the candy store, the ice cream shop hadn't merely been burglarized. It had practically been destroyed. Once again, the front window had been shattered by having a trash can pitched through it. The floor was strewn with broken glass and garbage. The glass freezer cases that held the ice cream had been busted as well. I found a photo that showed the garbage can lying on its side. It was one of the big metal ones that were all over Fun Jungle. J.J. McCracken had insisted on having one every 20 feet. He had research stating that the basic theme park tourist was so lazy, if they had to walk any farther to get to a garbage can, they'd end up simply dropping the trash on the ground. The can was more than 3 feet tall, with a solar compactor built into it. A thought occurred to me. Marge, This garbage can is huge. You really think that I could throw it through a plate glass window? Marge began to argue, then stopped, her mouth half open, as she realized I had a point.
Maybe. It's only a trash can.
I'll bet it weighs 100 pounds. I can't lift 100 pounds. Marge narrowed her eyes.
Maybe you had help then. Like that friend of yours who's always hanging around with you, Paco?
Xavier?
That's the one. He looks like he likes candy and ice cream. And that explained why the contraband isn't here. It's at his place.
I gaped at Marge, stunned that she'd managed to take a solid piece of evidence that I was innocent and implicate my best friend with it as well.
Xavier didn't help me with this. No one did.
Aha! Marge cried. So you admit you did it?
No. Think about this.
I held up her phone, displaying her own picture of the destroyed ice cream store to her.
If I really wanted to get away with stealing all this ice cream, I wouldn't leave such a huge mess behind. In fact, I try not to make a mess at all, so no one would even know I'd broken in. Here, the ice cream hasn't only been stolen. All the furniture's been knocked over, and the freezer's been smashed open, even though there's no lock on it.
Marge chewed her lip, actually trying to think. It looked like it wasn't easy for her. But then, Marge didn't have practice at thinking.
What's your point?
This wasn't about getting candy or ice cream. It was about vandalism.
So you and your pal vandalized the place. That's still a crime.
Why would I do that?
Because you're trouble, like I said.
You think that after all the commotion last night, I came back here and called Xavier, then had him come down to the park so we could trash the ice cream place, and then we both went home and pretended to go to sleep?
Maybe you decided to make it look like a bunch of vandals, to cover up the fact that you really wanted all the ice cream.
Or maybe someone else did it besides me. An adult. Someone who could actually lift that giant trash can and throw it.
And why would an adult do that?
I don't know.
Marge snorted in disgust, then returned to searching my room, opening the cabinets of my dresser as if I might have actually hidden 16 gallons of ice cream there. I was annoyed at myself for not having a better answer for her. It felt like there was something important I was overlooking about the thefts, something that would help make sense of them. But to my frustration, I couldn't figure out what it was. I wondered if I was still tired from the events of the day before.
"Why don't you check the video from the park?" I asked.
"I already told you there weren't any cameras aimed at the concessions."
"But there's cameras everywhere else, right? There are thousands in the park. If you look through the footage from around the ice cream place, you ought to be able to find someone heading there in the middle of the night."
"You think it didn't occur to me to check the other cameras?" Marge demanded. "I'm not an idiot."
That's news to me, I thought, but I didn't say it. I'd already antagonized Marge enough. Instead, I asked,
"So why haven't you done it?"
"Because I don't have the authority, thanks to you. Now that I'm not in charge of security anymore, I have to file a requisition for someone to comb through the footage. And right now, everyone's focused on this whole rhino thing instead. They're checking all the camera feeds for any sign of the hunter from last night, so I have to wait in line. Apparently, these rhinos are higher priority than my case."
"Well, someone is trying to kill them," I pointed out.
"And I'm dealing with the theft and destruction of official Fun Jungle property. Rest assured, though, when my time comes, I'm going to give that footage a good hard look. And if I find you anywhere even close to that ice cream shop around the time of the crime, I'm going to have you in juvenile hall so fast it'll make your head spin."
"And if you see someone else instead?" Marge rolled her eyes.
"That'll be the day."
Obviously, I wasn't going to talk any sense into her, and I didn't feel like waiting around for her to search the whole trailer. Our home wasn't big, but if Marge wanted to be thorough, she could still end up wasting a lot of my time. So when she got down on her hands and knees to search under my bed, I quietly backed out of my room and slipped out of the trailer. The keys to Marge's golf cart were dangling in the ignition. I removed them and flung them into the woods. It was antagonistic and immature, but I figured you had to fight back against bullies any way you could. Besides, Marge could use more exercise. I was 20 yards away from the house before Marge even noticed I was gone. Her voice suddenly boomed through Lakeside Estates,
loud enough to startle birds into flight.
Teddy, get back here! I'm not done with you yet!
I didn't even look back. Instead, I picked up my pace, ducking through the woods toward Fun Jungle. Behind me, I could hear the door bang as Marge stormed out of our trailer.
This isn't over, Teddy,
she yelled after me.
I'll get you if it's the last thing I ever do!